due to perceived underutilization caused by substandard facilities. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Run down the assets that you don't want and then sell them because you can claim that nobody uses them. Local ward councillor Yard wants the reserve sold under the requirements of fairness and equity. We're told that suburbs in the north of the city lack appropriate levels of open space. In other words, sell a park to buy a park. But the council doesn't need the money from the sale of this park. It can afford to purchase strategically important properties as they become available. A review of the 2020 financials shows more than $17.8 million in total cash and cash equivalents were held by the council. There was more than $2 million in the open space reserve account. In addition to these figures, in the 2020 accounts, there will be inflows from sales of reserves at Travers Street, Sturt, Westminster, and Spinnaker East. Eventually, there'll be no more reserves to sell, and council will be forced to pursue sustainable methods of correcting the open space problems it faces in the north. If the motions proceed as proposed, the western portion will be sold and the eastern portion will receive a modest upgrade. The upgrade is only planned to include one multi-purpose court, so the amenity for the community will be reduced from three courts to one. This grossly underprovides for the residents of Marino. Consideration should be given to reclassifying all of the Connell Reserve to neighbourhood level open space. This will provide improved facilities and hopefully stave off further attempts by council to sell any portion of the reserve. Perhaps council could see this as a chance to celebrate the 100 year anniversary since transfer from the Portland Cement Company next year. A glance at the addresses of the 703 petitioners and the indicative map showing locations where signatures were obtained shows the residents of Marino overwhelmingly do not want the western portion sold. When read in conjunction with the council report contained in the agenda tonight, the argument for retention of the western portion of the reserve should be a foregone conclusion. However, it seems the residents of Marino can no longer rely on our own ward councillors to act in our interests. We are left to appeal to the common sense of the other elected members to act on our behalf. Surely the good people from suburbs like Glengarry, Trott Park, Warradale, Darlington and Glandore would side with the 703 petitioners if given all the information. Thank you for your time. Thank you very much.
Any questions, members? If not, thank you, Mr. Smith. And then we'll proceed to the other deputation. Mr. Cruikshanks Boyd, please come forward. And again, we've got 5 minutes. Mr. Cruikshanks Boyd is from the 5049 Residents Association, I think I can say.
Coastal Community Association. Thank
that's
you.
The one. Fire away.
Thank you. So, Your Worship, the Mayor and elected councillors, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you concerning Connell Avenue Reserve. My name is David Cruikshanks Boyd and I am speaking to you on behalf of the 5049 Coastal Community Association. Our association facilitates engagement and representation for people who live in the 5049 postcode area, which consists of Marino, Seacliff, Kingston Park, and parts of Seacliff Park. Our mission is to support a vibrant, welcoming, and progressive community. We advocate on issues of community interest to promote and protect the character and culture of our community. We create and distribute a quarterly hard copy newsletter to 2,300 households. We have an email membership of approximately 800 people who receive our monthly email newsletter. We conduct periodic surveys within our community and we hold regular community forums on matters of community interest. We held a community forum in 2017 specifically concerning the Connell Reserve, but we were unable to do the same in 2020 because of the COVID restrictions. Through these various community engagement activities, we are acutely aware of the strong desire within the community to retain the Connell Reserve West. This is evident by the number of petition signatures opposing the sale, which now amount to over 900. Number of online petition signatures opposing the sale, over 800, and the number of written submissions to council opposing the sale, 34 out of 40. The association has read in detail the Marion Council report and note the two options in the recommendations. We strongly advocate for option two, retention of McConnell Reserve West, with an additional request that council support a review of the classification of the whole of the McConnell Reserve. We have indeed written to council formally to request this review, and that has been copied to yourselves as councillors. It is our opinion that the whole of McConnell Reserve meets the criteria for a neighbourhood level reserve, rather than its current classification as a local level reserve, for the following reasons. The unique visual amenity and the location of the eastern and especially the western side will provide for a high quality and diverse amenity once they are integrated and modest improvements have been undertaken to both sides. We note that the Seacliff Park development, which closely abuts McConnell Reserve, will in the future lead to a higher density population in the vicinity of the reserve. It is indeed premature to sell the western side of the reserve before there are firm committed plans in place for open spaces in this new development. Indeed, also the impact of the new planning and design code is likely to increase the population density within the existing subdivisions. And it will be too late to deal with this increased density if McConnell West has been sold. The Friends of McConnell Reserve, which you've heard from earlier, and the 5049 Coastal Community Association have offered to work with council to cost-effectively improve the existing amenity of both the Western and the Eastern Reserves. And indeed, we will advocate for funding from the state government to supplement council expenditure. An integrated McConnell Reserve, East and West, with appropriate facilities has the potential to become an open space location that will attract people from the wider community, given its superb location and visual amenity. This is evidenced by the number of written submissions and petition signatures from the wider 5049 community. We also make the following comments regarding the Marion Council report. Frankly, the usage data is irrelevant. Who but very local residents would want to use the reserve in its current highly degrading condition? Secondly, the section 194 report incorrectly states that it is deemed that the disposal of the land will not have any significant effect on the general community. This is clearly wrong given the opposition. So in closing, we exhort all councillors, but especially the Coastal Walk councillors, to be true to the Code of Conduct for Council Members, Higher Principles, which states that council members in South Australia have a commitment to serve the best interests of the people within the community that they represent. Selling the McConnell Reserve is not in the best interests of this community. And selling open space against the wishes of the community to help fund other open space projects is not the way the council should solve its equity and fairness obligations. Rather, we ask councillors to resolve to adopt option two, and in addition support a review of the classification of McConnell Reserve, recognising the value of the reserve to current and future residents, not only of Marino, but the wider community. Thank you.
Thank you. Just over 5 minutes, but very clearly spoken. The one that you may take your place in sorry, there was a question from Councillor Hunt.
Yes, if I might.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks for coming tonight. Do you see any connection, any correlation between what's being discussed here tonight and the proposed revamp of the Marino Community Hall, and for that matter, the proposed Seacliff project Hull Plus Bay and Marion are working on at the moment? Can you see any correlation between those whatsoever? And if there is any correlation, can you point that out to council?
Well, firstly, I applaud council's commitment to upgrade the Marino Community Hall. I think that should be applauded. I also would like to state that the your open space plan, I think, is a really excellent document. I said the same to her in picture today. If you're referring, are you referring to the Seacliff Park development when you,
yes,
with your second question? I think there is a relevance there because the northern part of the Seacliff Park development almost abuts McConnell Reserve, and so the increased population will now undoubtedly arise from that development. Will provide a further evidence of population who could benefit from this this McConnell Reserve, and benefit in particularly if it's upgraded to a neighbourhood level classification.
Yeah. A couple of clarifications. It might be the southern side.
Oh, sorry, the southern side. Southern, thank you. My apologies.
And in the agenda, when we get to the item, there is a map so that people can appreciate distances between places. Question from Councillor Garth.
Good evening, David, and thanks for coming. And it was a great presentation. I just have one question. It goes back to history. I was the main proponent, I guess, of the idea of improving the eastern portion of the reserve and then taking stock on the whole. And at that point, the association was in agreement with that approach. Were that approach to continue on, is it so that the association would take an umpire's decision if there was evidence to support it, or is the association hell-bent on keeping the western portion no matter what?
That's a really good question. I think it would depend on exactly what happens should a similar decision be made tonight as was made back in 2017. And that would be obviously consulting and working with the community on the upgrade of the east. A willingness to work with the community to look at options to how the west might also be cost effectively upgraded rather than nothing happened to it for the next 2-3 years. And also some a serious look at the open space planning in the Seacliff Park area to see in what way that might impact on the importance of the McConnell Avenue Reserve. So with some qualifications, I think we would be keen to see a similar resolution. Yeah. I don't know, am I able to answer any other ones?
Oh, no, well, you're going to speak on behalf of it, so we'll leave it there. So thanks, Mr. Cruickshanks-Boyd, for your presentation. So
thank you.
May take a seat. 2 points. One is that I really should note, because of the standards we try and maintain in the chamber, that Mr. Smith in his address referred disparagingly, I think, to the ward councillors. Now, they may not feel comfortable rebutting that when we get to the appropriate item. But I would like to say that that is not of the standard we expect in the chamber. And if it was an elected member, they'd be sailing very close to the wind of conduct which could be called out and leave them to be excluded from the meeting. Because it was only passing comment and the structure of the presentation as a whole, I let it go, but I will call it out for what it is. It's unnecessary in order to make the argument that is sought to be put. Okay, second point is a procedural one. At times, Council has brought on certain items. My suggestion to Council is that we actually continue with the agenda. We have a couple of relatively short items before we get to the McConnell issue. So unless there's a strong feeling, I'd say let's plow on and we'll get to the McConnell item fairly soon, maybe in 5 or 10 minutes. So next we have the petition of McConnell Reserve, but this is separate from the actual decision about the reserve and the consultation itself. So in relation to the petition, the suggested motions from staff are fairly standard, noting the petition, in this case noting that the petition will be taken into account in terms of the official public consultation about the reserve, and the head petitioner to be noted. So would somebody like to move that way? Councillor Crossland, any comment? Councillor Garr seconded in comment at this stage. No. If there are no others, I'll put that to vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we certainly have noted the extent of effort in relation to that. There is another petition that's in relation to street lighting in Dover Gardens. As a matter of interest, I know there are quite a few supporters of the Common Reserve in the audience. Is there anyone from Dover Gardens present? They may be watching online, of course, but regardless of that, I'll press on. There is a decision to be made in relation to this one, and I note that there are a couple of options. Councillor Howell, would you like to move?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to move with the recommendation as printed on page 76. It's interesting.
Sorry, Councillor Howell, there are three options. Remember that this is a place where there is heritage lighting. It hasn't been changed yet, but of course we're trying to get LED lighting across the whole city. So the question is, do we keep going with the original staff plan of doing away with the heritage lighting and getting in the LED? Do we leave it as it is and leave the heritage post-top fittings, which were originally set up by the developer that put those in the street, and not put in LED? Or do we put in the LED and replace a new heritage fitting with it?
Once again, I'm happy to move the recommendation as printed on page 76, and I'll read the recommendation out just to clarify that for you.
Yeah, it is effectively option three, but I was just trying to clarify that.
Well, it is the recommendation.
All right,
carry on. This is what the council staff have recommended.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help everyone understand exactly what you're moving.
I'll read it out for clarity. That the council notes the petition, who endorses funding of an additional $26,790 to supply and install 15 new heritage posts, top fittings, and change over to LED luminaires at Dover Gardens, Sherbourne Terrace, and Hampton Court to be funded from savings identified in the second budget review of 2021, notifies the petition and council's decision. Can I speak to it now?
Yes, please.
In speaking to this, this is the retention of services 101. The people, the good people of those streets moved into that area knowing that they had the advantage of having heritage lighting. It was an attraction for them. It was one of the many reasons why they elected to actually purchase and invest in that new subdivision. And I think councils often explored heritage lighting, particularly in Glenwood years ago. They didn't proceed, but nevertheless, the people value that attribute of their general environment. Along with the street signs, which are heritage street signs as well, there's more to it than just lighting. It's the street signs as well. And I think it's quite a nice part of the ward that I represent. The irony is, Mr. Mayor, it has some correlation with the good people of Marina who want to retain amenity in their part of the world with the retention of the reserve that they value so much here tonight. I think it's only reasonable if we are going to be changing over these lights to LED, which I support, and we all support that because there's actually savings for council in terms of cost for electricity, and I believe we get a better street light. I think we owe it to those people to retain the amenity and the service that was there in the first place, being the heritage lighting that was placed there by the developers and the of that particular subdivision. I think by downgrading the area, it's not really a good look for this council to be doing that.
Thank you. It's been seconded. Is that a question,
Councillor? I want to proceed in motion that we suspend standing orders. In regards to this,
well, it's a broader issue. So, if there are broader issues, okay. Go ahead.
I'd like us to suspend standing orders just to go through the discussion, because this isn't the only location, and I do believe some have already been approved, and I think we need to have a consistent approach moving forward, because people will come back to us and say, why haven't we had this option, especially where we've already...
Point of order, Councillor.
Councillor Lesk is quite in order to move the procedural motion. There should be no discussion.
The question is, it's in my discretion to leave explain basically what he's on about, but is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Crossland. So I'll put the motion, all those in favour. It's carried unanimously. So that allows us to have an informal discussion out of the usual debating rules, and Councillor Lesk, I'll call on you to, if you wanted to set the scene about broader issues.
Look, I'm not sure how many of these lights there are. I have been told a number, I don't remember. I'd actually like us to consult residents before we remove them and just keep them there for as long as we can. If they don't want them swapped over to the other ones, being the ones with the arch, and then I guess once they do need replacing because they're no longer working or it's an effective light issue, we look at that on a case-by-case basis. I just think that they are three times the cost, 38-year payback period, and we might find they get cheaper in the future.
Pull you up there, because it sounds like we need a briefing from staff. It also sounds rather like you're speaking against the motion as well, which is a different matter. But who would be most appropriate to start? Mr. Allen. Now, how we're going to do this, maybe if you just stand by the, all right, maybe stand over here by the screen or something. Are you going to sit there? Just Scott's going to give you some space.
Is that the end?
So, Mr. Allen, are there other areas? Is there an equity issue? Can you give us a bit more background on what's in the report? Thanks.
Through the chair, so there's approximately 220 heritage style lanterns that we are planning to change over with the outreach bin and the LED. Those 220 lights span over 11 different locations in the city. I do not have the data on what's already been changed, but that work has commenced and is in progress, with the exception of Dover Gardens, which has been put on hold.
So because someone said council was not doing the right thing, Morphettville's already been, there's a spot in Morphettville that's already been done, I believe.
Correct.
And there will be...
There's a section in Trump Park.
So, just as a question, if all of the lighting, heritage lighting pockets that have not yet been replaced with something less attractive, if they were all done the way that Councillor Hull is proposing in this area, what would be the cost? Do you know?
The cost for 220 heritage lights to be changed over to LED heritage lights?
Yes,
it would be approximately $570,000.
Right.
Wow.
Members, other questions?
What's the reference to the
So there's through the chair, there's different types of post hoc pigeons. There's the heritage style, which relates to the petition, but there's other steel casings with the old luminaire, the old mercury vapor luminaire, that will be changed over to the outreach.
What if those people want additional cost?
That would be an additional cost. It's not about that calculation.
930 times 2,600, about 2.5 million. So 2.5 million would be doable.
Right. Councillor Hopkins.
Yes. Given the question about replacing the law, clearly, Mr. Allen, the more we buy, the cost could actually reduce by the economy of scale. So what would be a more accurate figure to them, given that you get better purchasing power?
Trust the unit isn't for the government?
Order. There is some talk in the gallery. If anyone wants to discuss anything, please go outside. Thank you. Councillor Holm.
Sorry, Mr. Allen, to ask for through the chair, it would be unreasonable to assume a 10% cost saving with that sort of logic.
And in terms of we act, you know, council reacts to requests, we don't show initiative and just go and do this. When we do get a specific request, we often do respond. So is it out of order to actually receive a request like this from a section of the community and council actually diligently responds to it? It's not the first time, I'm sure, that we've dealt with this. Gangara Court in Warrida, that was dealt with appropriately. Like for like replacement. So we've already set an example there. So
examples, Mr. Allen? Through the chair, other examples might be around light spill or inadequate lighting, and we will investigate the issue, the problem, and see what we can do to resolve that.
All right, Councillor Schilling.
If we bought the luminaires, the new heritage was in bulk, would the payback period still be around 40 years?
A bit less through the chair.
Right. Is there any more informal discussion?
Yeah, one last question. Yes. In terms of the payback period, on page 75, it does detail here that the cost to undertake this work of $786,000, cost of $846 per life, the cost savings per year to transition 933 lights to LED is a little over $67,000. The payback for this top, for this post-top light is 11.6 years. So which figures do we actually...
Can you just expand on that, Mr. Allen? So through the chair, the figures that you've just stated, that relates to the outreach bidding with the LED luminaire and not the heritage lamp. So the heritage lamp is about 38.6.
That's not what Councillor Hulse wants.
So we've got to subtract the cost of the traditional upfitting that you're rolling out from that as well.
Because you would be doing that anyway.
Correct. Does that make sense?
Yes. So we need to factor that in.
Yep. Councillor Hulse, two more questions. Is there any heritage reason? Is this a character area with heritage homes in it? There's a reason why they need heritage lights.
Well, I can say from familiarity that it's not a, you know, we wouldn't say the heritage homes, but when it was not zoned character, but when it was developed, the developer wanted to make it a bit classier than most. Oh, you could say it's they're probably the best streets in those gardens, and therefore the heritage was thrown in with fairly high standard homes for the area. It's part of a package. Selling package.
Well, that sort of gets into my second question, saying how the code, there's quite a few pockets that have done the same thing, and the newly built in the head of the state have got it at the top of their hill. I'm aware that already some of those have been changed. What's going to be the cost to start ripping those off and putting heritage ones in? Is that going to be an additional cost that's not factored into this report?
If they've already been changed.
You have to change them to heritage.
Mr. Allen.
What do we do with all the old ones?
Through the chair, it would require negotiation with SA Power Network. So they would want us to pay for what's already been installed and upgraded and then have that removed. So there is a cost that's almost doubling up on
the cost.
Right. Councillor Schilling.
Hello, Councillor Cross will ask my question.
Is it worth just stalling the process as far as the new lights and having a bit more of an in-depth policy discussion as to how we would prioritise heritage post-op lights in certain areas? So then what remains can be treated in a more systematic and policy-based process?
Really political question. I don't know if Mr. Allen can answer that. But let's say you're throwing it out there. Councillor Cronin?
Yeah, quick question. Do we know anything about the numbers of relation to our power bill if we left the lights as we are?
didn't upgrade.
I think that's in the report, if we didn't upgrade to LED.
But as a year over year, $1,000, I think. So.
Yeah. Through the chair, so that's $70 per light, yeah, that we're saving if we transition to the LED luminaire.
Okay, sure.
Right, I think I'll get back into the debate pretty soon, Councillor Lesbian.
I've just got a question. Is it possible that we might find a decrease in the price of some of these products within 5 to 10 years?
Through the chair, excuse me, through the chair, there might be a slight decrease over time, but I don't anticipate it would be significant.
Well, I think we'd better get back into debate. So where we were at was Councillor Hull has moved. Is there a seconder? Councillor Masika, you wish to speak?
Yes, Your Worship, I think Councillor Hall has put up all the points straight. And I think I'll quite agree with the residents that it will be the wise way of spending the taxpayers' money. If we agree to retain up those heritage posts and change up the lead light instead of putting up the outreach, which is going to be expensive, and probably to change up the character of the area which the residents are talking about. So I'll support it, and that would be the best way of using up that money.
Very well. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Postman?
We will not, for the same reasons Councillor Masika was speaking in favour. Environmental reasons, going for option one, for cost savings and benefits for the ratepayers, option one. And the equity group.
So obviously we test for Councillor Hull's support. If that doesn't work, we'll foreshadow another motion on Councillor Crossley. We have a procedural rule that goes mover, seconder, opposition, four against, and so on. So I'll ask if there's anyone speaking in favour. If not, then Councillor Hull gets to close the debate and we vote.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, it's probably unfortunate that this hasn't come to light earlier before other areas had the same treatment that is in question. However, I can only react to the community bringing matters to my attention, and they've done that quite robustly, not only about the street lighting, but the street signs as well. And I think Mr. Allen has adequately addressed that to his credit. However, the street lighting is valued by the residents. It's a bit like the counts, you know, the people buy into a subdivision and, you know, it's got a beautifully bitumised road, and then the council comes along and decides, well, we really don't want to spend the money on bitumen, so you're going to have a dirt road now. You know, like, that's the sort of comparison. It's a downgrade of services that these residents have actually become accustomed to because they've, in a way, they've paid for it. They've paid for it by moving into that small subdivision because the developer is not a charity. The developer would have actually gained that money from them in the first place. There's not much turnover in that area. There's some, of course, but there's some residents that have been there right from the get-go. And I don't know. I just think that we need to value the amenity that residents already have access to, be it a street light or even a reserve.
Very well. Put to vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand.
And
the motion is lost.
Division.
Division is called. So, the practice I've been adopting here where we have a recorded vote is just for people to put their hands up again, and because we have one councillor meeting with us online. So those in the affirmative for Councillor Holt's motion, can you raise your hand again, please? They are Councillors Mason, Masika, Pryor, Hull and Garn. Those raise your hand if you're against. Those against are Councillors Valescu, Clancy, Hutchinson, Telfer, Schilling, Duncan and Crossland. The motion is lost on the division. So Councillor Crossland, do you want to test a different motion?
Same resolution but with option one, which I'll read out, which is proceed with the removal of these 15 heritage postal fittings and replace with a new outreach fitting LED luminaire. The payback for these new outreach fittings will be 11.6 years.
So I'll just check that minute taker is able to take that on board.
Really, a cut and paste option. I don't think the fact is not really part of the motion. That first sentence is probably what is in order. Councillor Crossan, can you take that on board?
Yes.
Right. Do you wish to speak further?
Just briefly, look, it's not a heritage area. The same type of situation is occurring across council. But my personal opinion is we're doing it for environmental reasons. The payback is 6 years, which is a huge advantage for ratepayers, so lower electricity costs. If we were to offer this equitably across council, at a bare minimum, we're looking at $500,000. If all of the people want to do it, it's $2.5 million. The people who've already had some of those things fitted, it's going to be even more than $2.5 million just to change the look of a streetlight. I've had a look at the ones that have been changed in Halleck Cove. They're actually still better than the normal ones. They're quite attractive. At night, they look really good. I didn't even realise they'd been changed until today. I'll move that way because I think that's a fair and equitable thing to do.
Very well. So, is that simple? That's my action. You wish to speak? Anyone against? Councillor Schilling?
Thank you, Worship. I am probably very similar line to Councillor Valesco on this one, and I think we should put a hold on the whole process with heritage top lights. And because 37.8 years is a huge payback, which I can't justify to ratepayers. 11.6 is better, however, the community are asking for the amenity to be maintained, and I think we should be listening to that where possible. So I'm in support of putting the whole process of heritage on hold while we review it as a council, maybe at an elected member forum, but I can't support option one or option three, I think, Councillor Hull, this evening.
Councillor Schilling, the way I interpret it from a procedural point of view is that you're not putting option two as such, but the motion might, if this motion fails,
if that would fail,
come back to you for the motion. Sorry, because there are actually two choices, either for option two or for a report that recommends a review. But I'll come back to you if this motion doesn't succeed. So we've had mover, seconder, speak against. Is there a speaker in favour? Councillor Clancy.
Councillor Valesco and I have had residents in Chilbara Court had their heritage post removed. If we were to go ahead with reviewing this and retaining the heritage post, then does that mean that our residents need to have theirs removed again back to the old heritage post? I think there's equity issues. I think we just need to proceed as planned for environmental and cost saving measures.
Very well. Anyone else against the motion? Councillor Bleskin.
Look, I wouldn't support us removing any new lights to put in old or new heritage. I think that is wasteful. However, if there is the opportunity to still retain some of the current heritage fittings that are still there, I think that is better than nothing. And at least give that option to the community. If the community comes back to us and says, look, you know, you've ruined it already with the new ones, doesn't really matter, then we can proceed with having uniform fittings. However, I think we do need to look at it. So that's why I'm in a bit of a different position from my fellow ward councillor.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? That's fine.
Can I just ask a question about
yes.
The heavy roll? We put this on hold. How long do you think we would take to complete our heavy roll? Assuming we don't know how long.
Well, for example, if there was a call for a report in the next couple of months, it's hard to do things in less than a couple of months, what is the impact on the LED rollout arrangements?
So through the chair, it's taken 3 or 4 months just to get to this point of physically rolling out. So SAPN had a backlog of work. So we'd go to the back of the queue. So it could take anywhere sort of 6 to 8 months before we get back into transition.
You mean if we said, please don't do these bits, we're thinking about it, they might come back in 6 or 8 months.
That's considering the reporting and going to elected member forum, having a discussion and then landing on a decision.
All right.
And what about SAPN's time frame on top of that, or?
Included in that sort of statement. Yep.
Okay. Are there any more speakers? Because John wraps up. That's a question. Would you want to reply?
Oh, look, I can't support Councillor Velescu's option of people who've already had theirs changed to bad SOSAT. So I'll stick to the resolution and I'll ask people to support it on that basis.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? All those against, raise your hand. The motion is carried.
Division
is pulled by Councillor Holt. So once again, those in favour, this is of option one, proceed with removal and replace with new outreach fitting and LED luminaire. Raise your hand. Those in favour are Councillors Clancy, Pryor, Hutchinson, Telfer, Duncan, Gard and Crossland. Those against, please raise your hand. Councillors Councillor Mason, Masika, Velescu, Hull and Schilling. So the motion is passed on the division and we move on. Now we come to the Connell Reserve. No, we don't quite do it. Is there a general motion in between? Yes. Confirmation of minutes of the Finance and Audit Committee. Move Councillor Schilling and second Councillor Duncan. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Page 91 of your agenda, the Connell Avenue Reserve. There's been extensive discussion. I'll look to board councillors. Do you, anyone to Councillor Gard?
Yes, I have come up with a new amendment, a move to amend on option two. Now, that may require a bit of discussion because it has been done today, but could that be read out perhaps?
So you're basically looking at option two on page 92 of the agenda, except how have you varied it from what was printed on the page?
So option two would now read, retains the western portion of the Connell Avenue Reserve whilst undertaking a revised evaluation of facilities and upgrades at the reserve as a whole, commencing in the months following the completion of the budgeted upgrade works on the eastern portion of the reserve, scheduled to be completed before Christmas 2021. Now we have advice from management that works will begin almost certainly no later than August and finish within 4 months. So we now have a defined time slot and we know what sort of delays before we can really take stock. And I think that changes the whole outlook, but it also honours the 2017 undertaking that we made.
Councillor Gard, I'm sorry to interrupt, but my suggestion grammatically would be that in what is up there as paragraph two at the moment, after the comma, where it says for the reserve on the last line, that it says which are. And I say that so that nobody gets the wrong impression that it's the revised evaluation that should be completed before Christmas, but rather is a factual statement about the upgrades, which is intended to be completed before Christmas. So it's essentially the 2017 option. Now, is there a need to write a petition? Just checking with governance, or have we? I suppose there's no reason why we couldn't
write the result of this motion and issue the petition. All right. It's with Councillor Gard to speak to the motion. Councillor Costa, do you have a procedural question?
I just want a clarification of what that clarification is.
Yes,
well, my understanding was that everything's deferred until the completion of the Eastern development, and then a couple of months after that, we'll actually review the outcome of that development.
We'll
then make the decision.
So,
clarify, because it went wrong last time.
Yeah, it's a big question. The way I understand Councillor Gard's motion, it's essentially a restatement of the 2017 position, but with a couple of added notification items. So, I don't know if, I suppose things have. It's very similar to a previous motion that's been passed, but on the other hand, we need to do something rather than nothing, because there needs to be a response to the community consultation process. So I'll ask governments whether there's any objection, but I think it's in order. And the upshot is, if we look at the critical paragraph, what is now paragraph 3, it's essentially the 2017 position.
Okay. That's not what it's supposed to mean, I don't believe.
Well, I'll go to Councillor Gard to see what your intention is, Councillor Gard. Am I right? That's what I'm objectively
saying. Yes, I believe so. I think Councillor Frost and I are on the same page. But
he can speak for himself. I'm asking you what you...
It might be semantics, but essentially it's to say that we want to proceed with an investigation of the whole, but only after the works have been completed on the eastern side. And that has been the gap that has opened, because sure, we have budgeted and planned for the eastern side. We know what is going into the eastern side, and we know that it is going in because the money is there. We know when it's going in now. As of today, I've been able to confirm that. And so we now have a far greater degree of certainty than we had in 2017 as to what is going to happen. In 2017, we had no idea whether we would even be able to find the budget to improve the eastern side. So it was in the queue until that eventuated.
Yes, look, I'm accepting the motion. That's not a problem. You have some limited time to continue speaking to it.
So my summary of it is that I believe that there is justice to be done in terms of what we did promise. I believe that there are going to be substantial changes to the eastern side, and that eastern side, those eastern side changes have been developed as a result of consultation, and people have come up with the single court idea. These are the Marino people, as you would say. So what I can say, Your Worship, is that I support the way that we go now that we've got time for it.
So that has been moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Masika, you should speak.
Yes, Your Worship, I think Councillor Gard has put up correctly that 2017, there was a promise from the council that the eastern side of the Makono Habitat Reserve will be developed. And thereafter, there will be a decision on regarding the western side. So it is a principle, I believe, that it has to be done before we can take any other steps. And that's why I agree to move up the motion to support what has been proposed, that we should develop the eastern side. And thereafter, the completion of that eastern side, we can reconvene and look on the western side.
Thank you. Just a note to report writers that we have discussed this before to have a brief history of a matter as part of the appendix. It would have been useful to have the 2017 motion in the report. I'm going on memory. I haven't got access to it.
in the meeting. We had a mover and seconder. Is there anyone speaking?
I have three questions. I'll tell you all the questions. First of all, why has this been delayed? The second is...
We'll take them one at a time, that's all right.
The first one, why hasn't this been done yet? Why is there a motion that we passed in 2017 and there has been no work done to date?
So that was a question for Mr. Scull. So 2017, late 2017, it was clearly on the agenda to upgrade the eastern portion of McConnell. My understanding is that the matter was repeatedly raised by ward councillors in ward briefings for a period of a couple of years, and the eastern side there was no sign of it being upgraded for a couple of years after that resolution. So why was that?
Your worship, I can't answer that question. I have to get some advice from staff. So
who here would be best placed to answer?
Perhaps for you.
Ms. Pitcher.
So I don't have an understanding around the 2000.
Perhaps if you stand, it might help project the voice. Sorry, Ms. Pitcher.
I don't have a full understanding of the resolution from 2017, and that was in regards to the revocation process versus an upgrade process. The open space plan, which was endorsed in June last year, committed those funds. So those funds have been placed in the long-term financial plan and will be utilised from next financial year.
That's the recent history, but thank you for that. You can relax for a moment. But clearly there was a gap that I think the council on the list was pointing to. Next question.
What would be the difference in potential density if the planning code as proposed by the state government were applied to this part of the council? So how many more houses could we expect in that area?
I think Mr. Scull might prefer a planning manager or team leader to answer that, or Mr. Haridis. I don't know if you have any information.
Yeah, through the chair, and thank you for the question, councillor. Detailed information to what's the maximum possible. We've got a question to explore this extent. It's a question we have to take on notes as to what the code would allow if developers developed each potential site within that area to its fullest possible extent. So that's a piece of work that we need to do. I don't have any idea.
Bearing in mind of the EDI code hasn't actually been declared, so the final, we don't even know what the final formula is going to be, let alone be able to work it out from there. So we don't know. What's your first question?
My final question is the criteria for neighbourhood level reserve. What is the criteria and would this fit into it?
So, this picture again, thank you. So, it's currently local, there's a move from the community to have a neighbourhood. What's our policy? How does this fit in? What are the criteria? Thank you.
Through the chair. So currently in June 2020, council endorsed the open space framework, which included policy, service standards, as well as the plan moving forward. So the open space policy states for a local level reserve that a local open space is less complex in design, providing limited facilities to generally cater for a low density urban environment. They provide environmental value through urban heat mitigation and contributing to biodiversity and air quality.
Ms. Pitcher, we know what the current one is local, but this is the more strategic question. If I've got a local level playground next to my house, I think I'd like it to be a regional one that's got a bench, a park and everything else. What is the motive or what is the pathway if somebody wants to change the level of a playground and wants to persuade council?
Certainly. So neighbourhood level play-space caters for higher quality and more diverse character within the higher density population. If I can refer to a motion would need to be brought before council to change the classification of a reserve. So currently what council's endorsed is that Macomb is a local level reserve, and the funds that have been contributed for the upgrade from next financial year within that local budget.
I understand the procedure, but what I'm trying to get at is how, what is there any policy that would inform or that would lead you for one of the staff to recommend that a reserve be a certain level? For example, I would expect that with a certain catchment, for example, if we thought that building something next to Palico Shopping Centre, I don't know, or on Glenthorne, that's a real life example where we've said, that's where we're going to go for the max because we're going to get people all across Adelaide. But on the other hand, in the Joan Harriman Playground or the side street in Ascot Park or something, well, it's never going to be a citywide attraction because it's basically the size of a housing lot. But in other words, what are the indicators that would guide council in assessing which level the reserve should be at?
Yeah, certainly. I think the open space plan, as I said, that guide the provision, and one of these principles is accessibility. It's a majority of people that to leave at least one type of open space, so within 400 to 500 metres of their residence or workplace. So I think if you need to look at the whole provision across the marina, so appendices number 3 lists the open space within Marino and the current classifications. Abandoned Terrace Reserve is a neighbourhood provision within Marino, and that's 650 metres away from the coast.
Right, so that you're saying that would be a relevant factor. You look at what other reserves are available nearby and what level they're already at.
And different service provision across the open space within one side as well.
All right, so I was trying to tease that out on your behalf, Councillor Leskey. Did you have, was that enough? Or?
Yeah, that was it. If I can speak.
And you may speak in opposition to the motion.
Look, I think it's a good idea that we don't make any decision until we actually have this upgrade, and I think that's what the community expected as well. But I'd actually won't support this because I think it's too early, and I know Councillor Telfer sent through something to assess a bit further down the track, once we know what's happening at the Marina Hall, what's happening at Seacliff, and look at maintaining an adequate level of open space for the community and the emerging community as well. I asked the question in regards to the planning code. I don't think it'll be much different. I guess in that area I drove around there, it's a large, beautiful large blocks, and I wouldn't like to see that damaged too much as far as with subdivision that we see in the north of the city. So that's the reason I won't support this motion. I think we need a bit of time to assess it. Regardless of whether, you know, whether the whole reserve is kept or not, I would, through the chair, caution the local residents in regards to having a pushing for a neighbourhood level. It may not fit the criteria, but if it is borderline, it may actually cause more problems if there are more people flocking to that area. So, you know, regardless of whether it's the retention of the western side, that's a separate issue. But sometimes more activity, I know in my ward, causes problems. So if you're attracting people from far and wide and you think that's what's required to be done to save that side, there might be other issues with traffic and safety issues. So I think they're two separate issues, and I guess that's my word of caution based on experience.
Very well. Is anyone else speaking in favour of the motion?
Can I move a deferral?
I'll just see if there's any other speaker in favour.
Any question?
Take a question, thanks.
The Marina Community Hall has been mentioned formally here tonight, but virtually been email traffic, as we know. I'd like somebody from staff to actually answer the question, what correlation is there between the Marina Community Hall and the limited open space that will be around it once we do the site, and this particular site? What can you explain to me if there is any obvious connection between the two sites, because one's a hall and the other one's a reserve. So
Mr. Skull or Mr. Skull?
I can have a go at that, Your Worship. I don't think there is much connection between the redeveloped hall and open space provision at McConnell. Certainly, though, the Sydney Park development would have a significant impact on the population and demographics up there. So I think there's a close correlation between that development, which, by the way, is in master planning right now, and McConnell. But I don't think there's much connection between the Marina Hall, except that it could actually bring that into the region. The connection to the secret park development, as alluded to by the CEO, is quite astute. However, is it not so that that developer could elect to pay money to this council in lieu of providing open space? And that would clearly be a significant impact on Nepal because it's going to butter. So could that be a possible scenario? And I have one more question.
Through the chair, we haven't approached the developer about that because the master plan has been completed, but it could be an option. They have to provide the 12.5% of open space.
Now, given my last question, given this is a bit like Groundhog Day, we discussed this 4 years ago, what's the chances of us coming back to us again in years to come, like it has this time, and McConnell Reserve on the western side, that matter on the eastern side, has actually downgraded and degraded that much more over the period. So, is this...
Councillor Hubb, that really is a rhetorical question. It's not something that staff would assist with. If anything, it's probably a political question. So I'm going to go back to Councillor Crossland, and I apologise, I thought for a moment you were going to speak against, but in fact you were indicating that you had a procedural motion which should take precedence. So I'm admonishing myself for that. I should have just given you the call. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, it's clear that there is a lot of confusion, there's a lot of misinformation as well, especially around the expenditure on the eastern side being somehow linked to the western side, which clearly is not. There's also a lot of confusion raised by the interpretation of the 2000.
Sorry, Councillor Crossland. Point of order.
Same as last.
Councillor Crossland is speaking to the procedural motion technically, and I've used my discretion to allow some explanation, but you want to defer it
to 2 months after the completion of the eastern development.
Right, now just ask governance if there's any technical problem with adjourning it to that date to be fixed.
I would have to refer to a meeting within that month because I'm going to say that there's not a meeting. So you might do two clear months and then a meeting in
February or March,
February
2022. That certainly makes it clear, cast.
Moving the entire motion until February 2022.
No, because that's in the. So I just checked with Ms. Pitcher. The development of the eastern side is in the open space plan. It's proposed to be in the budget for next financial year. So a deferral of this motion wouldn't affect that. Is that right? Yeah. So can you word that appropriately, Ms. Weiss?
Confusion, adjourned.
No, that's fine. It's the intention of the House. The second meeting in February 2022. Or the last General Council meeting. Your accuracy is really that same case. A General Council meeting. All right, you make it a General Council meeting and advise that's acceptable. Right, is that seconded? anyone who hasn't spoken, Councillor Duncan.
Thank you.
I'll put the motion immediately. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried. So we will come back. So the return of the panel scheduled for cinemas in 2022. I just ask the community to leave quietly, thank you. While they're doing so, I just want to tidy up members, a bit of tidy up a bit of business. When I earlier called on confirmation of the minutes, I referred to the last general council meeting. I didn't specifically refer to the special general council meeting. So I'm going to seek someone to put that motion, Councillor Schilling, Councillor Telfer, that those minutes of the SGM be accepted. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried. You know. Now, the museum. I understand that there may be some museum or heritage volunteers observing us tonight. If so, welcome. We certainly have some in the gallery as well. I suppose it makes sense for them to be here in person rather than online. Now, we're going to start with a display, speaking of cinema. There is a what the architects call a fly-through. I hope everyone's familiar with the term. That's what we're going to see on the big screen now. It's a moving animation of what we think a gallery might look like. I suspect it's going to be the deluxe version. Sure, we've got, who's going to, which staff member is going to speak to the motion, to the report? Ms. Byrne. Is that right? What are we actually about to see?
Yes, you are actually seeing exactly what you have said, an right. Impression of what the concept would look like.
Right. Thank you. Oh, there's the red house there. Could have done with some disco music, but that was good. Now, who would like to kick things off?
I'll move the recommendations with the one that was showed there, the concept plan A, which is shown in our report. I do this because I believe the old historical aspects fit well in the current Red House building, and there'll be wonderful scope for the researchers to work at the back and to be close to the areas where they have stored their material. I have never in 25 years had tears in my eyes when I looked at a report, but when I actually was shown this fortnight ago by the architect, I felt like I had tears in my eyes because I felt that this was such a great thing for our city. It felt so exciting to actually have this small space And I know many people think it's too small, but this small space to interpret the whole of our city by having the hub or the centre bit and having the satellite spots throughout our whole city, some which have already been interpreted and won't need money to develop them, others may need some more interpretation. I recommend this to you. I'm excited by what these architects have done, and I really look forward to this coming forward.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Hutchinson.
Yeah, I think Councillor Telfer has said it all there. It's, I remember being on council when we first secured the Red House for the History Centre, and it was a momentous occasion, and fought long and hard for that. So I really commend this one to you.
Thank you. Just one question to staff, Ms. Bernbach. We're basically talking about whichever option, similar cost?
Yes.
Yes. Correct. So it's a matter of which way it's configured,
yes.
Configured whether there's more space, yes, at the front or the back of the building, basically.
Through the chair, the footprint is exactly the same. It's just where the position of the gallery as opposed to the research space is.
Understood. Sorry, so do I have other questions?
So is it the range between 1.4 and 2.3?
Ms. Byrne, can you explain? Is there a range of costs between 1.4 and 2.3?
There was originally, but this is now detailed through the chair. This is now detailed costing, and what the cost estimate is $1.4 million.
Very good. Councillor Cross, up a question.
Question, obviously, there's not many of the councillors that know metropolitan councillors what similar situations as they have this. Is there a business case for this? Is there evidence that we need it? Bearing in mind it seems to have leapfrogged from can we have a room for volunteers to store stuff in and do research, which has kept going and going, to can we have some extra storage space, to now 1.4 million expenditure. Did I read the report right? Might need two full-time staff.
Can we come up?
Maybe. Yes, please do.
Sorry, excuse me.
Maybe if you stand at the side.
Yeah.
Or stand behind Mr. Scull and I, because
sure.
I'm just conscious not everyone can easily see me. Well, we don't want people craning their legs, the necks, that's all the way around.
Sorry, excuse me, yes, I was all the way around.
Good, thank you.
I'll break it down. So, yeah. Will this development then require two full-time staff? So,
it has, under the chair, at the moment, the Heritage Research Centre is open 3 days a week, and it has a 0.6 FTE that delivers that and provides the oversight of 20 volunteers. So if we were to increase the opening hours, I guess we would look at increasing a staff component with that, potentially. Or the research centre is an extension of the library service, so there are ways perhaps you could actually look at, if we decided to increase the opening hours to a 5 day a week concern.
So, if I can just put the converse question as well, if this is built, will it necessarily mean more staff?
Potentially, yes. Through the chair, or no? No.
Thank you.
Yeah. We haven't gone that far.
Yeah, the other question was about, so just demonstrated demand.
Yeah, demonstrated demand, because we seem to have bleed from, I've looked at the report and see how fast they've got one. It makes sense for tourism, more for tourism. I don't see the mention or the Bringer or Teacher really having one. Why are we looking at this?
Through the chair, my understanding, this project was initiated through communication from a resident into the chamber, and it became motion on motors, and that is how it's grown from them, from there.
I suppose, to be fair, we do have an active band of history and heritage volunteers, which not all council areas may have to the same extent. But do you want your spectator? Well, we've had the motion's been moved and seconded. Anyone's free to speak in opposition if they wish.
Councillor Clancy.
Yes, I'd like to speak against this $1.4 million for minimally used facility. It's unjust. I think it's widely wanted within the community. We're spending millions this year on a number of projects. I don't think it's the time to be taking this on.
Thank you. Anyone going to speak in favour? Councillor West.
Yeah, I think this is something that there's people in the community have indicated that they do want us to value the history of the local area. I believe there's the opportunity to, you know, look at some sort of collaboration in some of the services we offer. So, you know, if there can be some sort of outsourced library activity, outsourced as in from the libraries into here, not actually to a private company, that would be a good option. And I think it's looking at the difference in the various services that we offer. So I would support this. And, you know, we may not get the funding, so we may have to revisit this later on if we don't get that.
Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Blesk is referring to going on to the local government infrastructure partnership program list. Councillor Mason, do you have a question or are you speaking in the motion?
I just wanted to ask a question about the preferred designs. Does that have to be decided tonight? I mean, I'm for definitely for having a museum of some kind, but I was just wondering whether the preferred design the community to find out whether having a larger exhibition room is more important to them or having the larger research area.
Well, the motion as moved endorses a concept plan, so that does start to define the spaces in the building. But the question was also about, was it about what community would prefer of the options, Councillor Mason? So perhaps Councillor Telfer or Ms. Burton could indicate if there's been community feedback about options A or B. Yeah, Ms. Burton.
Through the chair, we have engaged with some personnel from the Heritage Research Centre, so Danielle and the volunteers there, as well as the people that are involved in the Heritage Village and Historic Village. We've engaged with them. They don't have strong preference. They, in fact, Mr. Stretton said that he believed that it wasn't up to him to make that decision, but rather the chamber to make that decision. What they saw in the report, they were very positive and thought that it was going in the right direction.
Okay, so I've had a question. We last had someone speak in favour, someone speaking against. Councillor Crossan?
I'm going to speak against and move the deferral. When we did Merino Hall, it took 3 years to get to this point with lots of meetings, forums, discussions, public consultations, none of that with this. I'd like to defer this to a forum because I hate it to fall over because we're trying to rush it through with big amounts of money. Maybe we'll have staff, maybe we won't, maybe it'll be open, maybe we won't. Maybe someone will use it, maybe they won't. I think those things need thrashing out. We all need to be on that journey rather than just going, oh, 1.4 million, and who knows what expense will follow, yes or no. It took 3 years to get to this point for you know, and we were pushing hard. There was plenty of consultation, plenty of forums, workshops, it's a lot of money, and that had no FTEs attached to it. So I'll move a deferral to the next forum so we can actually talk about it and decide what we need to do.
So, in fact, you want to defer to the General Council meeting?
Then
you can discuss it at an open forum. I must say the next probably February, March are pretty well fully scheduled, but that's not to say that things can't be moved around. So I would probably be, obviously that would mean that we'll pass the deadline for the local government infrastructure probably April. It still gives time to get it into next year's budget if council is minded to do that. So a general council meeting in April, probably only time. All right, is that seconded?
That's a procedural motion.
It's a procedural motion, so just need to know if it's seconded. Councillor Schilling, all those in favour? All those against? The vote is tied. I think there's been enough background work done on this. It has come to us before tonight, as a concept at least, so I'll cast my vote against the deferral, and that leaves us to resolve the item tonight in some way.
Oh, a division, please.
Division on that? On the...
Division board on a procedural motion?
Of course, I believe so.
So I'm going to call point of order on that because we have called divisions on confidential, going to confidence, and that's a procedural motion, is it not?
Oh, there's a point of order, so I'll take advice from governments in relation to whether a division can be called on a referral in a German motion.
I don't believe that going to confidence or not is a procedural motion, is that? That's actually making it...
That's substantive.
The party is confidential, whereas moving the procedural motions of deferring the German...
Come back to you, just wait a minute.
A division can be called on an amendment to a motion as is a motion, sorry, Mark.
It's not an amendment, because that helps with the procedural motion. I'll just let everyone know, I have got a big announcement to bring to you at the conclusion of the meeting. So I am trying to get through the business as quickly as possible. I know everyone is just letting me know.
Okay, situation I will draw, we can move it another time. I'm sure there'll be a division at the end of the vote.
All right, thanks, Councillor Crossland. Councillor Hull, did you have a question, or are you speaking in debate?
Speaking in debate. In favour.
In favour, well, that is in order. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, Councillor Crossland's discussion and the last part of his deliberations drew our attention to the opportunity with the partnership funding. And I do support the museum. I have right from the get-go. However, we've got to see this as an opportunity, and this council should be actually exploring every opportunity to get as much as they can out of these opportunities with the stimulus packages that are around, and this is one of them. This is going to help us expedite and build projects that we've had on the wish list for a long time. And Mr. Scull has indicated that his administration will endeavour to draw attention to these projects and opportunities and allow us the opportunity to actually get the best we can out of these situations for the community. The stimulus in this case is not only stimulating the good retention and care and display of heritage items, but there will be a builder and apprentices and suppliers that will actually benefit from the economic stimulus that will go into this upgrade of the Red House. And, you know, I was on this council along with Councillor Donnelly, and I seconded Councillor Donnelly's motion to actually save the Red House from the bulldozer. And that was to allow the Red House to be a place for art, to be originally as a workshop and display. And here we are talking about evaluating that structure even more. And I just think we should seize the opportunity. If we actually put it off or miss the opportunity with this round of funding, and I just think if we actually manage to get that money, I think that it will be money well spent to actually tick it off and we can move on to the next project. And that's how we should be thinking about what we can actually get for our community with other levels of government, with grant planning. They've been quite successful in recent times in that, and this is just another example of an opportunity.
Thank you. Anyone else speaking against? Councillor Shiro.
I just have a couple of questions.
Sure.
This is going forward to the local government funding partnership for stimulus, correct? So that's a 50-50, am I correct with that
that's
as well?
That's correct.
What happens if we don't get 50-50 funding? Does that have to come back to us for us to endorse the 1.4 million in total? Mm-hmm. Because tonight we're just saying, yes, it costs 1.4, but we're putting it to the grant. Is that correct? So we're not actually saying we'll actually build it tonight. We're saying we can go to the grants and then we'll reassess when it comes back to the
way
grants.
I understand the motion is that it's conditional on getting the 50% state funding.
So if we don't get 50%,
the cost, we're saying we're going for half, it's like going for a grant. If we don't get it, there's, I don't believe there's justification.
So if we don't spend, get the half funding, it'll come back to us to
come
discuss
back in about April or May. Again, in time for the budget potentially. Now, Councillor Clancy has spoken, haven't you?
Yes, just a question on that, because it doesn't actually say in the motion it's dependent on 50-50.
Oh, well, that's what the reference to the Local Government Infrastructure Partnership Program means, that because it's a 50-50 deal for everything that's put up.
Can you clarify that, please? We've had a few motions.
No. Ms. Byrne, well, do you have any reserves? Is my interpretation of that resolution correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Because of the guidelines and conditions and the criteria of that fund, yes.
And if it's a negative, administration understands that there's no council resolution to spend 1.4 million. We'll do half of the sorry, do you have any more questions?
No, that's clarified and to help me formalise my decision.
Anyone else spoken again? Speaking of this, I should say. Then I'll leave it to Councillor Telford to close the debate.
Yes. It's an exciting project. It wasn't just thought of. The community has been thinking and talking about museums at least towards the 3 years that I've heard Councillor Crossland talk about. The point about Holdfast only being the only one with this type of interpretation of their stories and their traditions, it's broader than that. Mitcham definitely have got their centres there that work away. And just to say that the Gawler one is different because they have tourism and we don't, I think Gawler one is impressive with its small displays, and I believe that we can display something that encourages our own people and our neighbouring people to spread out through our city and look at what we're looking at, and that we hold on to our stories. Because we have at any one time, often about 20 volunteers working on their own stories, their own heritage, their own genealogy at that site out of the 100 volunteers that link now to the Heritage Centre. It's worth us pursuing this, particularly if we get the 50-50 grant.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried. Division's called by Councillor Crossland. So all those in favour, please put your hand up again until I've called your name. Councillors Mason, Masika, Valescu, Pryor, Hull, Hutchinson, Telfer, Schilling, Duncan and Garner. Those against, please raise your hand. Councillors Clancy and Crossland. So the motion is carried on the division. So I hope to the heritage and history minded of you in the gallery and online, hope you found that entertaining. What we have done is committed to put up the 1.4 million proposal to the state government. We'll probably find out in about April whether we get 50-50 funding. If we do, then we go ahead from there. And if we don't, we will have to think about it some more. You're free to leave if you wish, or you're free to stay another few hours. Thank you.